Howdy, regulars. This is Regular Dispatch 47, and it is July 3rd, 2020. What is action? Action is commonplace. Right action is not. As a discipline, it's not any kind of action that will do, but directed action. Everything must be done in the service of the whole, step by step, action by action, will dismantle the obstacles in front of us. With persistence and flexibility, we'll act in the best interest of our goals. Action requires courage, not brashness. Creative application and not brute force. Our movements and decisions define us. We must be sure to act with deliberation, boldness, and persistence. Those are the attributes of right and effective action. Nothing else. Not thinking or evasion or aid from others. Action is the solution and the cure to our predicaments. There was little evidence that Demosthenes was destined to become the greatest orator of Athens, let alone all of history. He was born sickly and frail, with a nearly debilitating speech impediment. At 7 years old, he lost his father, and then things got worse. The large inheritance left to him, intended to pay for tutors in the best schools, was stolen by the guardians entrusted to protect him. They refused to pay his tutors, depriving him of the education he was entitled to. Still weak and sick, Demosthenes was also unable to distinguish himself in the other critical sphere of Greek life, the floor of the gymnasia. Here was this fatherless, effeminate, awkward child who no one understood, who everyone laughed at. Not exactly the boy you'd expect would soon hold the power to mobilize a nation to war by his voice alone. Disadvantaged by nature, abandoned by the people he depended on, nearly every wrong that can be inflicted on a child befell Demosthenes. None of it was fair. None of it was right. Most of us, were we in his position, would have given up right then and there. But Demosthenes did not. Stuck in his young mind was the image of a great orator, a man he'd once witnessed speaking at the court at Athens. This lone individual, so skilled and powerful, had held the admiration of the crowd, who hung on his every word for hours, subduing all opposition with no more than the sound of his voice and the strength of his ideas. It inspired and challenged Demosthenes, weak, beaten on, powerless, and ignored. For in many ways, this strong, confident speaker was the opposite of him. So he did something about it. To conquer his speech impediment, he devised his own strange exercises. He would fill his mouth with pebbles and practice speaking. He rehearsed full speeches into the wind or while running up steep inclines. He learned to give entire speeches with a single breath. And soon, his quiet, weak voice erupted with booming, powerful clarity. Demosthenes locked himself away underground, literally, in a dugout he'd had built in which to study and educate himself. To ensure he wouldn't indulge in outside distractions, he shaved half his head so he'd be too embarrassed to go outside. And from that point forward, he dutifully descended each day into his study to work with his voice, his facial expressions, and his arguments. When he did venture out, it was to learn even more. Every moment, every conversation, every transaction was an opportunity for him to improve his art. All of it aimed at one goal: to face his enemies in court and win back what had been taken from him, which he did. When he came of age, he finally filed suits against the negligent guardians who had wronged him. They evaded his efforts and hired their own lawyers, but he refused to be stopped. Flexible and creative, he matched them suit for suit, and delivered countless speeches. Confident in his new strengths, driven by his own toil, they were no match. Demosthenes eventually won. Only a fraction of the original inheritance remained, but the money had become secondary. Demosthenes' reputation as an orator, ability to command a crowd, and his peerless knowledge of the intricacies of the law was worth more than whatever remained of a once great fortune. Every speech he delivered made him stronger. Every day that he stuck with it made him more determined. He could see through bullies and stare down fear. and struggling with his unfortunate fate, Demosthenes found his true calling. He would be the voice of Athens, its great speaker and conscience. He would be successful precisely because of what he'd been through and how he'd reacted to it. He had channeled his rage and pain into his training, and then later into his speeches, fueling it all with a kind of fierceness and power that could be neither matched nor resisted. Some academic once asked Demosthenes what the three most important traits of speech-making were. His reply says it all. Action, action, action. Sure, Demosthenes lost the inheritance he'd been born with, and that was unfortunate. But in the process of dealing with this reality, he created a far better one, one that could never be taken from him. But you, when you're dealt a bad hand, what's your response? Do you fold? Or do you play it for all you've got? There's an explosion, metaphoric or otherwise. Are you the guy running toward it or running away from it? Or worse, are you paralyzed and do nothing? This little test of character says everything about us. And it's sad that so many of us fail, opting away from action, because action is natural, innate. You trip and fall right now, your body's instincts protect you. You extend your hands to break your fall so you don't break your face. In a vicious accident, you go into shock, but still manage to get your arms up around your face. That's where the term defensive wounds comes from. We don't think, we don't complain, we don't argue, we act. We have real strength, more strength than we know. But in our lives, when our worst instincts are in control, we dally. We don't act like Demosthenes, we act frail and are powerless to make ourselves better. We may be able to articulate a problem, even potential solutions, but then weeks, months, or sometimes years later, the problem is still there. Or it's gotten worse, as though we expect someone else to handle it, as though we honestly believe that there is a chance of obstacles unobstacling themselves. We've all done it. Said, I'm so overwhelmed, tired, stressed, busy, blocked, outmatched. And then what do we do about it? Go out and party, or treat ourselves, or sleep in, or wait. It feels better to ignore or pretend, but you know deep down that this isn't going to truly make it any better. You've got to act, and you've got to start now. We forget in life, it doesn't matter what happens to you or where you came from. It matters what you do with what happens and what you've been given. And the only way you'll do something spectacular is by using it all to your advantage. People turn shite into sugar all the time. Stuff that's a lot worse than whatever we're dealing with. I'm talking physical disabilities, racial discrimination, battles against overwhelmingly superior armies. But those people didn't quit. They didn't feel sorry for themselves. They didn't delude themselves with fantasies about easy solutions. They focused on the one thing that mattered, applying themselves with gusto and creativity. Born with nothing, into poverty, strife, or the chaos of decades past, certain types of people were freed from modern notions of fairness or good or bad, because none of it applied to them. What was in front of them was all they knew, all they had, and instead of complaining, they worked with it. They made the best of it, because they had to, because they didn't have a choice. No one wants to be born weak or to be victimized. No one wants to be down to their last dollar. No one wants to be stuck behind an obstacle, blocked from where they need to go. Such circumstances are not impressed by perception, but they are not indifferent or rather immune from action. In fact, that's the only thing these situations will respond to. No one is saying you can't take a minute to think. Damn it, this sucks. By all means, vent, exhale, take stock. Just don't take too long, because you have to get back to work. Because each obstacle we overcome makes us stronger for the next one. But, no excuses, no exceptions, no way around it. It's on you. We don't have the luxury of running away, of hiding, because we have something very specific we're trying to do. We have an obstacle we have to learn, lean into, and transform. No one is coming to save you. And if we don't like where we claim we want to go, to accomplish what we claim are our goals? There is only one way, and that's to meet our problems with the right action. Therefore, we can always and only greet our obstacles with energy, persistence, a coherent and deliberate process, iteration and resilience, pragmatism, strategic vision, craftiness and savvy, an eye for opportunity in pivotal moments. Are you ready to get to work? And this reading in today's dispatch is from somewhere in the middle of Ryan Holiday's The Obstacle is the Way, The Timeless Art of Turning Trials into Triumph, in which he summarizes a lot of his deep and wide research and interest into Stoics, the philosophy, the key figures. I'm sure he's read all of it and notated it well and turned it into quite a nice book. He's also got the Daily Stoic, kind of a book version of a page a day. And it's nice. He's got a nice e-commerce shop too. He's got some kind of challenge coins and other smart physical goods ideas in play. And apparently he lives somewhere here in or near Austin. It's kind of fascinating how many such figures have ended up here. Tim Ferriss, recently, rumors about Joe Rogan. Like, it's funny when you go looking at some of the people who live here. Lawrence Wright, I think, lives here. An interesting slate of wildly successful, really interesting writers call Austin or Central Texas home. It's kind of cool. I almost didn't want to record today. I've been saying I would do these on non-holiday weekdays, and though it's July 3rd, I can tell a lot of people are observing the Independence Day today. But I went ahead and recorded this one, and it's a nice little turn, actually, the bit about freedom, that you might be trapped in circumstances beyond your control and you have no choice except to take action, to pick up from where you are and roll up your sleeves and get back to work. I like the notion, and I like the idea too of directed action, the right action. There's a lot of things we could do, but the point of it all is to begin and on a constructive path that gets you where you want to go. And we all hope that you do it, because we can all sit. It's kind of a national pastime now to talk about problems. And here's to the folks out there with their sleeves rolled up, acting today to see them solved. And may more people have more freedom to do so within the U.S. and also certainly to the world over. Thanks, y'all.